I just like miss the stuff that's going on in the news.
Oh
Like
yeah.
I never like am ready to tweet about stuff or like post about stuff. I hear about stuff on postings and I'm going, what is everybody talking about?
Well, I don't even know. I'm so out of it. Like I stopped paying attention so badly that I don't even know what the healthcare thing that happened today was.
Me neither.
Like no idea.
I
I
know it
like
was.
something like it's gone.
They pushed a new.
They just repealed the other one, and there is a
In the
replacement.
House.
Yes, and so I have no idea what's happening. But I'm like, whatever. Like I don't care. And that's the thing that bugs me is that I don't care.
I care. I certainly care. Well, especially because it's like now. All right, so I went to the doctor. So I've been going to therapy with Carmen. Went to the doctor. And the doctor said, your hip is far gone.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, you could have a replacement any day. Like,
That's crazy. My
it.
sister-in-law just had a hip replacement.
How old is she?
35,
Shit. Yeah, that's young.
36 maybe?
That's really young.
Yeah, less than 40.
And did she
And
say,
she
did
had
they
a
say what was the problem?
apparently she's had this thing like her whole life where it's literally just been like deteriorating.
A degenerative hip
Yep,
thing.
that's exactly what it is. And like they showed her an X-ray of like this hip on this side, and it's all like cloudy with like, what the joint's supposed to look like. And then on the other one, it's like a big black abyss. She's
So
like,
I got.
and she was like, she had this pain like her whole life, and like she just thought that that was like normal.
That's how life is.
Yeah,
Life
she just thought it
hurts.
was normal. And
Yeah.
then they're like, no. You don't have to have pain. You just need this new super hip. So yeah, she got a hip
Man,
replacement.
I've gotten super reflective over the last few years, couple years since my hip has gotten worse.
Oh yeah.
And like, I've been. It's with giving it attention with the doctor and with physical therapy, it certainly feels better.
Yes.
But walking without pain or walking with pain, it just made me think that, like, I don't know how many times you run into people or see people or just have a brief interaction with them and you're like, what a bitch. Or what? This guy's an asshole. What a
Right.
jerk. You know, when you're like, it's hard to maintain a positive attitude
All the
when you're
time.
in pain.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just like it's one of those, cliches, or like now it's probably a meme where it's like, don't be mean to anybody or whatever, 'cause you don't
You
know
never know.
what they're going through or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
right. So it's the same thing with pain. Like they could be going through heartache or whatever, but it's the same thing if like if my back hurts all day and like you come up and you're like, dude, what's wrong? Like, what's up, dude?
And you're like,
You're
piss
like, get away
off.
from me. Like, leave me alone. How come you're not all bouncy and smiley? Shut up. Leave me
Yeah.
alone.
You
'Cause my
tired?
back hurts.
Like, fuck you. I'm tired. Tired of you talking and people
Leave me
and
alone.
everybody.
Yeah.
And so anyway, but now, so with this healthcare thing,
Right.
I'm thinking, with President Clown Shoes just ripping things away and
Yeah, it's see that's the thing. I don't even
fuck the
know.
poor.
Like I don't
That's
even
like he's
know
like.
what's I don't even know what's gone or what's I like I and to say that I don't care like isn't accurate because
Right, but I know
obviously
what
I
you mean,
care.
though.
But
It's
I'm
overwhelming.
like don't care. Like don't I don't want to listen. I like and I told you about that the other day
Yeah.
or when I was like watching the news report and I was like nope, click.
Not
I
today.
can't. Yeah, exactly. I can't do it.
There's a riot on the east side. All
Not
points.
today.
Not today. So yeah,
So I have no idea. I know that something happened and a lot of people are pissed about it, so it's probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
But whatever.
So, but my thought was like, if he decides to like switch up,
Right, healthcare.
I have a pre-existing condition now.
Correct. Your
So,
hip is now, yes.
there's part of me that's like, I should do it tomorrow.
Yeah. You should.
Otherwise,
You
who
might not
knows?
be
I might
able
not be able to do
to.
it later.
It's true.
So I'm gonna have to consider that in the next little while. I liked the thought of like getting 10 more years out of it and like kind of like figuring out a way to
Well,
like.
what's is it like gone?
Well, they took some X-rays too. So went to the doctor and he ordered X-rays and blood work.
Right.
And he did a bunch of, God, they ask you a bazillion questions. A
Oh yeah.
bazillion. And you're like, I have no idea.
Right.
So, but I, Yeah, so I'm thinking like maybe I should just hop on it and do it now.
Get in there, get it done.
But
get her done.
But I'm gonna assume. I don't know. I'm gonna assume the best.
Yeah, something will happen. There will be something. There will be something.
I'll just have to claim bankruptcy.
In theory, that's like yeah, exactly. Whatever.
But it still doesn't mean I'd get seen. I don't know.
Yeah. But see, there. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. I can't talk about it because I don't know.
On a TV angle, since we're we kind of like dabble in TV here in this podcast.
Hey, this is going to be the Tom Hanks episode
for sure.
This is all the filler stuff. We haven't done our intro yet. Okay,
sure. For sure,
Todd's going to cut all this out.
Tom Hanks. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, it'll start with... So, Tom Hanks right. is quite a guy.
Exactly.
But what was I saying?
Who knows? TV and trying to...
Oh, yeah. Did you see Jimmy Kimmel's thing?
Oh, yes.
I watched it today.
Not all of it.
I watched the whole thing
because I didn't have the whole
today.
12 or 21 minutes or whatever long that it was.
You should get Hulu.
I watched the very... It was on... It's on everywhere.
It is.
It's on YouTube and everything. Right. I was like... It was late at night last night, and I was like, ooh, I wanted to watch this. And so I did the, like, save the video thing that Facebook lets you do, and I just forgot to go back and watch it. But, yeah, he's talking about... He makes a good point. Yeah, it's like, all about his...
I'm super wealthy.
Right.
He's like, but there's so many people who aren't, and whether or not your child who's just born... And he's very good.
Yeah.
He's like, they have to make a decision, and... He said what I think needs to be said over and over again. It's common fucking decency. You don't let a kid die because he doesn't have health insurance,
right?
Or his parents don't have the kind of job that allows them to pay for it. Yeah, that's just what kind of person are you? You know, you've got to be like disconnected with your humanity to think that that's okay. To think that people can die if they can't afford insurance. Oh well, it's the way it goes. God damn. It's infuriating.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
Vote him out, I hope. Fucking vote him out.
And speak up. Well, there's the impeachment march. Do you know about this?
Nope, but I like the sounds of it.
Yeah, it's like July 2nd, I think, like right around Independence Day.
I hope that he doesn't make it to July 2nd.
There's like some big thing. Nationwide, like they're gonna march. That's the thing. How many marches have there been?
A bazillion.
Like just this year.
Yeah.
Like three, like big ones.
There was the women's march on the day. That was humongous.
There was another one just now. What was it? I forget. I don't know. I don't remember. But there's been like not just marches, but like big protests, like the Day Without a Woman.
Without an Immigrant.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. Anyway, it's just crazy. So the impeachment march. I saw it on Facebook.
The world we live in.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Tom Hanks, though.
That's gonna make me happy to talk about that. But before that, check out the website. Check out the website. Why not? Go to the website, lifesabitch.com.
Well, because you can hear some of the old stuff.
You can definitely hear some stuff that you won't
be able to find other places.
Go to our Instagram at lifesabinge and listen to other podcasts that we like. You know what? I'm going to promo a podcast that's brand new in the podcasting world. Friend of ours, Courtney Broussard, started a podcast.
Ooh. And she dropped one?
She has three episodes.
She dropped three of them.
She launched with three episodes.
Oh, wow.
It's called We're All Human. It's available on iTunes. It's probably available other places. I just use iTunes, so I know that you can find it there.
Does she load it through Podomatic?
I have no idea.
No idea.
We're gonna have to bring her on so
she can promote it.
Yeah. So
besides, she's a great guest.
She's a super cool podcast. I'm listening to her first episode right now. She's got like stand-up comedian Billy Gailwood as her guest, so it's very enjoyable to listen to them chat. And they just chat about life and stuff and dating and all sorts of interesting things that's going on in life today.
Every guest flirts with her.
Probably.
Every guest is like, I'm going to say something so clever and funny that you will love me.
Yeah.
Of course, that's all of us every day.
Yeah, so. Basically. So check out We're All Human with Courtney Broussard.
It makes me happy. Good for Courtney.
Courtney Diamond. is her name.
Oh,
so I hope I didn't like spill the beans. Yeah, right. No, because whatever. That's just her like blog name.
I like it.
I know
Courtney Diamond.
Yeah, I know that. Anyway, and then listen to This Week in Zoltan and the Degenerate Podcast and all the Voices San Diego podcasts, because they're awesome as well. And if you can find an episode of Life Moves Pretty Fast, you could probably listen to them too, but who knows if they exist anymore.
There's going
to
be a new one.
No, there is going to be a new one, and it's going to be a good one where
it's probably out. It's probably out already with his brother.
When this one came out. Yeah, as this episode launches, it's probably out already with Mike talking about the draft and his brother there and all that stuff. And then maybe we'll know what's going on with their show. So check them out as well, because we're big fans of them. And again, this episode of Life's a Binge is brought to you by blackfinoutfitters.com. If you're into kayaking, paddleboarding, fishing, or simply just lounging around in super comfortable wearable clothes, hit up blackfinoutfitters.com. Enter the promo code BINGE, B-I-N-G, and get 20% off your entire order. And you know what? They sent us some swag, dude. I'm wearing my shirt right now.
I'm wearing it now.
And you know what?
Do you remember Palmolive? Palmolive commercial?
What? Oh.
You're soaking in it.
Yes.
So it's like, I'm wearing it now.
I do remember that. But I am. I just posted a picture on the Instagram page, too.
Right on.
And it's comfy.
Of you or of me?
Of me.
Because I was good. Because I was not a selfie. Like, I wasn't, you know.
I made sure to get the logo in.
Okay, cool.
And it's a super comfy shirt. So check it out. Blackfin Outfitters. Look good, feel good, fish good. Outdoor gear you can wear anywhere. Enter promo code BINGE for 20% off. And with that, let's talk about Tom Hanks.
Let's do it.
Life's a binge.
Right? Who? Tom Hanks.
Green Mile. That's
the top of the list, I think, for me.
Really? I just whispered, like, you're number one, Tom Hanks?
I'm pretty sure. Like,
you're not a Forrest Gump guy, right?
No, I do like Forrest Gump. I have to watch it again, though.
Right.
Because I was jaded when I saw it and blinded by
propaganda.
By left-wing, by liberal.
Political propaganda.
Yeah, by liberal Seattle movie reviewers telling me that it's pro-America bullshit.
But, I know you've told me before.
Right.
But refresh my memory on how they were trying to spin Forrest Gump as being like super like
patriotic,
hoorah. Right?
In that you can be dumb as a stump,
correct?
But if you love your mama,
uh-huh,
and you love your country,
uh-huh,
and you follow kind of the simple rules of kind of like, you know, what life is supposed to be like,
sure,
then you will succeed, and maybe even beyond your wildest dreams.
Okay, but how is that a bad thing?
You gotta understand the anti-American sentiment brewing out of the hippie culture of Seattle in the 90s.
Yeah,
was strong. I imagine I shouldn't say it's not anti-America.
Right,
it's anti-corporate America.
Oh, yeah.
It's anti, what's the word I'm looking for? Xenophobia. You know, it's anti-xenophobic stuff. Where, you know, America,
anti-establishment,
America Uber Alice stuff. You know, that's. That kind of thing. Pretty much what we have right now with with Trump and the right wing. Like, that's what we were always against.
But Forrest Gump is not that at all.
It's not. But with those glasses on, you can see it. You can see
kinda.
It. But yeah, if you take those glasses off.
Right. It's a beautiful
enjoy movie. Enjoy the movie.
It's a beautiful
it's
movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah. Take those beautiful. Glasses off and just enjoy it. You know, sometimes it's like, you know.
If anything, it's like the opposite of that, where it's like,
you think it's a little bit more sordid, like a little bit
yeah,
more
where it's like it shows you like the horrors of like Vietnam, and like it shows you
true.
Like
the dirty underbelly.
Yeah, where it's like anyway.
But America does America he never really does through. Does America ever really do anything wrong in that movie though?
I mean they send him to Vietnam when he's obviously a child, you know what I mean? Like,
true.
He's not a child, but
true.
You know what I mean? He's fresh out of college, who all he does
and
is play
clearly,
football,
I mean,
and he's clearly mentally challenged, and
right?
They're just like, well, you're in the army now, and there you go to Vietnam, and whatever. So it's not, if anything, it's like the opposite end of the spectrum. Maybe not the opposite end, but it's like, it's definitely kind of toeing the line right down the middle. Because,
right.
I mean, he is from Alabama, and he's like a good old boy, and, mm-hmm. and so.
So that's your... Is that you think? Would you call that your number one Tom Hanks movie?
Oh man, probably.
All right, you should admit, probably, because that's what I'll say. Like I'll say for Green Mile, like that.
But I mean, there
in general, like it's the problem. You don't have to compare one to the other necessarily.
It's the problem with Tom Hanks movies is that like Apollo 13 is a phenomenal film as well.
It is,
and like you can't. But compare,
It doesn't come to mind for like a Tom Hanks vehicle. It's just something that like he's just great in.
Okay,
and that movie is fantastic. But I don't think about it as a Tom Hanks movie.
So, in that regards, do you think that they could replace Tom Hanks and the movie would still be good?
That movie would still be good, yes.
With somebody else?
Yeah, not as
so
good.
So, if like Dennis Quaid was the star instead of Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
That's a bad call because I love Dennis Quaid.
Right. Well, I don't think that like his performance carries it like it does. Like he clearly carries like so many other movies.
Yeah.
Like,
true that.
And so that's the only reason why. I mean, he is completely functional within this great storytelling.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense.
Yeah. So
more like Castaway, like probably isn't a success if
Dennis Quaid. Yeah, Dennis Quaid was Castaway.
Right. Because yeah. Like I love Dennis Quaid, but like I don't think it could just be Dennis Quaid on screen and have me be that.
Yeah.
I
mean, or Rock. You know, The Rock couldn't carry it.
Wilson, do you smell?
What's that smell? Wilson. Do you smell?
But like Castaway, there's so many. Okay, the problem with Tom Hanks movies and not doing like research on Tom Hanks movies is it's very much the Simpsons aspect of it, where it's like I know my Simpsons. In my mind,
right,
where it's like literally four seasons of 30,
right, of particular episodes that really resonated with
right
you,
where it's like season like 4, 5, and 6, like right in the like right when they kind of hit their groove, that's like where the Simpsons lives in my brain,
right,
and I'll reference something and it's from like season 5 and now they're on season 30 or whatever,
right,
and so it's like the bank of things to talk about is like so
it's
overflowing
giant.
Where it's like Tom Hanks is like, okay, I just played this game with Samantha. We won't play right now because it's going to be pretty boring to listen to. But at home, you can pause the show. And it's a game that me and my buddy Nick, who's been on the show before, had come up with where it's called, it's just the Actor Challenge, where I would give you an actor's name and I would tell you a number. And then you have to name that amount of movies that the actor's been in.
Okay.
And so I tested Samantha. I was like, okay, you love Johnny Depp. You literally own 99% of the movies he's been in. I'm going to tell you Johnny Depp, and you name me 15 Johnny Depp movies.
Ooh, that's a challenge. That's a challenge.
Kind of. Where I could tell you the same thing with Tom Hanks, and I'd say, name me 22 Tom Hanks films, which is probably like not even a quarter of what he's done. And if you look at his acting credits, it's probably like 95 things. Right. But if I tell you, even if I dumbed it down to just 20?
20? It wouldn't be.
And you could probably, and see, you would name 4, and then you'd be like scrambling. You're like, oh, no.
Right. Yeah, I think I could, yeah, like, I'd name 5 or 6, and then I'd be like.
And then you have to sit there and really think about it. Right. And because Nick and I used to play the 6 degrees of, you know, whoever
Kevin
to whoever.
Bacon. Okay.
It wasn't Kevin Bacon. Or like you
whoever.
Would come up with somebody, I'd come up with somebody, and then whoever can connect them in the least amount of movies or whatever connections is like the winner.
Right.
And then when we got tired of doing that, that's when we came up with the challenge where it's just like name some movies.
Okay.
And so, but it's so like play it at home. I'm telling you, like you'll think like whoever your guy is, like who's your person, your favorite like performer person,
my favorite actor.
Yeah,
it's hard to say right now. John Turturro's like definitely one of my favorites.
Okay,
and he doesn't have a humongous body of work.
Okay, so for somebody like you, I'd pick like a Steve Martin.
Steve Martin,
where
for
I
sure.
could be like Steve Martin,
sure,
name
performer.
Me 10 movies, and you're like, great, I got it. And then you like
I'd name 6.
Yeah, and then you're like sitting there like, oh man,
that'd be naming the ones I didn't see.
I can't think of anything else, even though you know there's like 40 more out there.
Yeah.
But just trying to come up with 10 on the spot. It's only when you get put on the spot.
Right.
So that's kind of the Tom Hanks problem with me, where I'm like, oh, I could talk about Tom Hanks all day.
Right.
I like Forrest Gump, like, duh, Apollo 13, duh, Philadelphia, great.
Right.
Castaway, awesome. And then I'm like, it starts getting cloudy, even though there's like Sleep in Seattle, and You've Got Mail, and Joe vs. Volcano, and That Thing You Do, which is probably one of my favorite Tom Hanks movies ever.
Still haven't seen it. He directed it, too.
He wrote and directed it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, gosh. how have you not seen that thing
yet? I know. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. That movie's phenomenal.
Yeah, I got to see that.
Yes. So we can't talk about that thing you do. Dang it.
You can talk about it. I'm going to see it. There's no big surprises in it.
Yeah.
Right?
No, not really. It's just good. He's not even like the star. He's just the supporting character in the movie.
Right.
But it's so good. You guys look good in red if I told you that. Anyway.
But somebody's like, oh, that's a good life. So.
He says it to like every, oh, you guys look good in yellow. Have I told you that? Like he just tells
he's the manager?
Yeah. Yeah. He becomes their manager when they like start to become
so that you ready? There's our first sidetracking for the
sure.
For the speaking of him being a manager of a group. Have you ever seen the movie Idlemaker? Have we ever talked about that movie?
I don't think so.
Now, this is a movie that...
is it like an American Idol type premise?
No. It's a movie came out in the 80s.
Okay.
But it's set... It's sort of like... what's the Cameron Crowe movie where the guy... The report, it's him as a young reporter and he gets to travel with the band.
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous, but like... The band that he follows is a fictional band, but it's in reality it was Led Zeppelin, I believe.
Okay.
Or some famous band like that.
They played in
that,
it, yeah.
that he actually did that with. So in that movie,
sure.
It's two guys, and so they're both takeoffs on Fabian and like some other like 50s like rock guy. And so anyway, he's Frankie Avalon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just Googled it.
But the guy's name is Cesare, you know, who's supposed to be Fabian, one name, and then the other guy has another name.
Sure.
But it's great. And he's the agent. And when I saw it.
Who's the agent?
He's both of their agents.
Oh, the guy. The character.
Yeah, so the character who's Ray Sharkey.
Yep.
Who's
Vincent Vincent. Yeah, anyway.
Is his character's name? Yeah, right. Vincent Vaccaro or something like that. I wanted to be an agent when I saw it. Like when I saw it, I was like, "That's what I want to do."
Right.
I want to be an agent, and quickly thereafter, like not quickly. I mean, there was always something that always still kind of stuck in my head, like
right.
Being a manager.
Sure.
But being a performer was like
better.
Like, it called yeah. my name. I'm telling
it's
you,
better.
I'm thinking about it a lot now, more about like managing.
It's better.
Like it is better. It's better, but at the same time, sometimes it's like go do your thing.
Give me 10%.
Yeah, and I'll help you, you know,
Be better. Right.
Yeah.
Or I'll promote the crap out of you.
Right.
Right.
And I'll talk to people, you know, because you're a great musician but you have shit attitude or like you can't talk to people or something like that.
True that, man.
But so anyway, that made me think of Idlemaker, and I think there was some kind of legal problem with the movie because it wouldn't get re-released or like out on streaming.
I looked it up, and the movie was released in 1980.
1980,
The Idlemaker, based on the life of rock promoter producer Bob Marcucci, who discovered among others Frankie Avalon and Fabian. Anyway, 1980, The Idlemaker. But so that thing you do, he's like the record label guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's their manager, promoter, whatever. Gets in the gigs and everything, and they're like the Wonders, and they're awesome. Do you know the song That Thing You Do?
How does it go?
You doing that thing you do, breaking my heart into a million pieces.
It was a hit?
Like you, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember like a song being popular from it, and I can't remember exactly how it went, but...
There's a bunch. The whole soundtrack's great. Little Wild One's a good one.
And it's all original stuff?
Yeah.
But not, that's not based on anybody or anything?
It's just based on the time. Like the time frame. Like, imagine
in
if
the 50s
it was.
And the 50s.
Yeah, so imagine if it was the Beatles and everyone's like, oh my God, the Beatles are the best. But then after I Want to Hold Your Hand, they disappeared.
Oh, is that kind of how it is? Like they were hot for a moment?
Right. So everyone's like, holy crap, have you heard this song? It's amazing. It's going to change the world. And then, like, spoiler alert.
Yep.
It's crazy. Crazy times.
Cool.
That thing you do, man. It's good stuff.
Right on.
So. you said I said The Green Mile. It was just one of the first ones that popped into my head. Now that movie for me is low on the radar.
But on your favorite Tom Hanks roles,
just in general, like
in your favorite movies, it's not like in your top 10.
Correct.
Oh, for Pete's sake!
I've only seen this movie maybe twice.
Oh,
I know. And both times I've watched it, I'm like, dang,
it's a good movie.
This is a good movie. It's just not in the. It's just not one that makes the rotation for some reason.
Oh, it's a great movie for me.
It is though. It's such a good movie.
It's a long movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's so well done.
It's just so sad.
And you know, it's funny.
Maybe that's the problem, because it's like so tragic.
It's terribly sad.
Yeah.
But it's so, God, it's so well done. And what I love about it. So the movie is how old now? 20 years old?
The Green Mile?
At least 20 years old. 15 years old, at least.
It's probably close to like 2000, somewhere in there, I'd guess, is when it came out.
Huh. I would have guessed even earlier than that. I would guess like 96.
No way, because that's like Forrest Gump, Philadelphia. Like, it wasn't right after he was like...
It was right after Shawshank. So whenever Shawshank was. I mean, it was like 2 years after Shawshank or
the
so.
1999.
Look so you were closer, actually. So.
Green Mile, 1999. That's
so,
crazy.
What I like about that movie...
Yes.
First of all, it's one of those movies that it's great no matter what, and like Apollo 13.
Yeah,
but Tom Hanks has parts in it that make it where it would suffer greatly
if it was somebody else. Right. Well, he's just. How do you describe? I do want to talk about Green Mile, but how do you describe Tom Hanks? You know what I mean? Like, he is so.
True. He's not like a. Pretty boy.
Right. So that's, maybe it was somebody, I had heard something about Tom Hanks where I was like, if you mute a Tom Hanks movie and literally just try and watch the movie, you're like, why? Why does Meg Ryan think, like, what's so good about this guy?
Right.
Because, like, he's not like a gorgeous man.
Right.
He's not like an ugly man.
No.
He's like an average good looking guy. He's got like the curly hair going. He's got like the very unique, like kind of scrunchy facial features.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as soon as he opens his mouth, you're like, golly, I love you.
Yeah.
His personality, his voice, his vocal quality, like the fact that he can play such extreme innocence. And then, like, turn it around and be, like, so, like, dark and, like, he's good.
He's just good. He's super duper good.
He's just good. And the fact that everyone calls him, like, Hollywood's nice guy means that he really is a charming, nice, good person.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that plays into it. Because, like, there are other people that are great. Like, I think Tom Cruise is a phenomenal actor.
He's very good.
But... If somebody's like, you can have dinner with Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks.
But...
You can have dinner with Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks. Like, duh. Tom Hanks wins.
Right.
Like, always. So it's like, anyway, he's just so... That's what makes the movies that he's in. There's moments that he can only do, which is what you're kind of talking about in Green Mile.
Yeah.
It's like, if it was anybody else, it's like, meh.
Right.
But it's him, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in Green Mile, first of all, it's, so the movie's how old? So it's 18 years old.
1999, yeah.
So 18
Three
years
hours,
old.
9 minutes long.
It's a long movie.
Nowadays, but, it's not that unheard of. It is pretty long, but still. Stephen
three
King,
hours
like, that's
is still,
the problem.
That's
Stephen
still
King.
Long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very complex and great details in it. And it goes to, gosh, it just, the movie, the just clicks along, though. And
yeah.
James Cameron or James Caldwell. Wait a minute, the older guy who plays the warden and his wife gets sick.
It's
James Cromwell. Excuse me.
Yes, Cromwell
is so good in it,
mm-hmm.
and so is his best friend, who is in lots of things.
David Morse, is that who you're thinking of?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, he's been in lots of stuff, and he's always super good.
Yep.
And Steve Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
Yep. He's good.
Is phenomenal in it.
And Sam Rockwell is one of those guys that, like, I can't believe he's not more famous than he is. But he is super famous, but he's just, like, always under the radar.
Yeah.
It's like my kind of famous. Or, I don't want to be like Sam. My kind of famous is John C. Reilly. Like, if I could be anybody, I'd be John C. Reilly.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is super famous. Like, would you consider John C. Reilly A-list?
No.
Right.
No.
But he's not, like, B-list. He's not like a nobody.
No. Because
he's been in everything.
Yeah.
And he's always, like, a supporting character, and he's always, like,
and he's does
funny.
And he does humor well.
And he does drama well.
He does serious
like,
well.
Like, in, what was it I was just watching? Oh, For Love of the Game. Do you know the Kevin Costner movie?
I know of it.
But you don't know it.
I didn't see it, yeah.
Anyway, like, there's a, he's, like, Kevin Costner's throwing a perfect game, basically.
Right.
Like, there's a scene when John C. Reilly's his catcher, and he's, like, not that good of a catcher, but at the very beginning of the movie, he's like, I need him. He's my guy. I need him to catch. And he's uh-huh. like, no, he's not in the rotation, and he's a righty, and they're pitching. And so he's like, and Kevin Costner's like, no, he's my guy. So he gets him as a catcher, and then there's, like, a scene at the end where he like, walks up and, like, mound visits, and he's like, hey, Chappie, have you ever seen anything like this? And he's like, I haven't. And just, like, the quality of his voice and, like, John C. Anyway, I love John C. Reilly.
That's cool.
If I could be famous like anybody, it would be John C. Reilly, where I could do 1,000 movies, be that guy, and it's like, hey, that's that guy. Hey, he's in that. Oh, that's great. And then he walks out of the studio, and there's not like 10,000 camera people just waiting to take pictures of him. Or anyway,
so that.
But that's like Sam Rockwell to me. He's like the same guy, where it's like he's so good and he's in everything, but like he's just not famous.
I think that they're kind of similar in a way. I think that they're both respected and they do certain roles, like. Sam Rockwell in Green Mile, like, was a really good role.
Yeah.
Like, he was a frightening bad guy. Like,
yeah.
He was, like, a really good, like, morally reprehensible guy.
Yep.
And he played it so well. And then he was in that movie about the sex addicts, Sam Rockwell. It was like
sex
a
addicts?
Yeah, I want to say it's a Chuck Palahniuk story too.
I have no idea. Do you know when about it came out?
2003 or 4 or so. I want to say it's like a one word like crush or something.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I'm just like scrolling through.
That's cool. His
anyway, he's good. Yeah,
he's good.
That's good.
He was in, I don't know if you ever saw Moon.
Oh, I didn't see it. I wanted to see it. But
you
that's
should.
Like where he's just like up and like it's just him, right?
It is. Maybe there's like one or two other people, but it's a vehicle for him.
Choke is in the movie.
Choke. Yep. Choke is the one.
It.
Yep. Choke.
Yeah, it is Chuck Pal, however you say his
Palahniuk.
Name. Palahniuk.
The Fight Club writer.
Yeah, Fight Club.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's great in Green Mile.
Moon is good. And you know who directs Moon?
Who's that?
That's the son of David Bowie.
Director of Moon?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, I think he goes by Jones, like something Jones.
Let's take a look. Who's Duncan Jones?
Duncan Jones, and that's David Bowie's son.
Crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's a fun fact.
Isn't it?
I did not know that.
I always like little things like that. I always like got a kick out of...
That's trivia.
Speaking of David,
right there.
David Bowie,
yeah,
he ran with a band called Tin Machine for a little while. I don't know if you remember that.
Okay,
but Tin Machine had Soupy Sales Kids in it. I don't know if you remember Soupy Sales from back in the day.
Yep,
crazy. So, and speaking of Soupy Sales, we're gonna go off the rails for just a little bit.
We'll get back to Green Mile and Tom Hanks. Promise.
No, I gotta talk about Tom Hanks. but we mentioned about how. At Seven Seas, which is over now.
Yep. No more charming for you.
No more charming. I'm like repulsive.
You know,
I'm super repulsive.
I can turn it off now.
Yeah. People are like.
I take the Tom Hanks part of me and I just throw it away.
They're just crossing
like,
the street now
you.
When they see me. Yeah. They're just like. People aren't drawn to me. I have no pants.
You're Tom Hanks on mute now.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So, dang it. Just talking about the fucking thing with the.
Seven Seas and
so our friend our friend Veronica's parents who were on the Gong Show
right correct
we need to have them on
Oh, yeah.
That would be a fun story.
That would be a fun story.
To talk about that experience.
I am down for that, for sure.
Oh, and I sent Brandy a message and asked her to come on sometime.
Who?
The one who beat me at Wheel of Fortune, on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, I thought that would be fun.
Like, we'd have to talk about other stuff.
Oh, right.
We could refer to the episode, to our Wheel of Fortune, but...
Yeah, for sure. We just can't really...
We can't go in and say, oh, and then this is what happened, and blah, 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 and talk about these great details, but...
True that.
But
yeah, that'd be fun too.
But I thought it would just kind of be fun to talk about stuff.
That would be cool.
So we'll see.
Do you have anything else to say on Green Mile? Are you because
yes, I love it so much.
Okay.
And I mentioned it before,
right?
That like maybe we're talking about emotional stuff.
On Tearjerker movie.
Yeah. And when that's like Tom Hanks' unique quality, where he has to execute John.
Yeah.
John Coffey, like the drink, but not spilled the same. And he is talking with his buddy and trying to, like, he is bargaining with God
right.
to trying to figure out
what
is right here.
Yep.
And that's just, it's so well done and laid out so well that it's just brilliant that you're just like, oh, good. And then when he shakes his hand at the end, you know, right before they kill him.
Right before he's...
That's just
that movie beautiful. Sucks, dude. That movie
it's just
sucks.
Beautiful.
It sucks. It's such a tragedy. Like, it's such... Oh, gosh.
The story's great, and at the end, and then the old man is him, and the mouse, he has the mouse.
The mouse thing's good.
That's all, like, it's so good. It does suck.
Yeah. It's a good one, for sure.
But the story's fantastic.
So. Okay, now what about... Are you a Philadelphia person?
I am. I'm a big Philadelphia person, and that's another one that would not be the same with somebody else.
Oh, no. Now, see, I watched that movie a few times back when it came out. Now, I'm curious. I haven't watched it in a while.
It's been a little while.
I'm curious if this movie still is going to have as big of an effect today as it did. And when did it come out? 93, maybe?
Did it come out that long ago?
I think
Denzel Washington is pretty young in it.
I think it was like 93, because like when did Forrest Gump come out? Because it was like 93, 94, 95 when Tom Hanks was just winning Oscars.
Oh, that's right. Like crazy. That's right.
But let's find out when Philadelphia came out, shall we?
And we might have mentioned that...
1993.
You're the man.
Nailed it.
We might have mentioned that before when we were talking about emotional movies.
I don't think we brought up Philadelphia.
Okay, good. Then we won't be repeating ourselves.
But like... I just don't know
what part of Philadelphia like sticks out where you're like, ugh, that's just a great like
the whole movie. But like when he's in the hospital and like Denzel like shows up and like hangs out with him in the hospital, like that's just it's like game over for me. But like I don't know. Like, do you think? No, I
that's
want
a
you,
good.
I want you. What's your part?
He does a whole thing where he's explaining the opera to Denzel Washington,
right?
And the opera is playing, and he's an opera fan, feeling the emotion, and he's telling the story of the singer, and the light changes, and it's like all red light. Well, and that's fucking money. That's like acting money right there. That's just like...
Well, and that's the thing about this, about Philadelphia, is like you have Tom Hanks probably at the top of his game, like right in his like super prime, where he's like... moving on from, you know, the innocent era of like Big and Sleepless in Seattle and Turner
stuff,
and Hooch,
right?
And like all this, where it's not like he's not being goofy per se, but it's like he's moving on from that type of storyline into, you know, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Apollo 13, like into these, like Saving Private Ryan, like into this type of era of like, I can do more than just the charming, goofy guy.
Right.
I can, like, watch me break your heart in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, that's why he won the Oscar. But, like, you got him, and then there's freaking Denzel opposite him.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit.
You know,
that
reminds me of...
just as good.
it reminds me of Rain Man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because it's Tom Hanks and Dustin Hoffman, but Tom Cruise.
No, I almost did that earlier when I was talking
about Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman. But and Dustin Hoffman, of course, has the special needs role.
Correct.
Which I shouldn't say is easier or anything like that, but it certainly draws a lot more attention.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I remember watching that movie and being very impressed with Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, yeah.
But Tom Cruise is excellent in that movie.
So good in that movie.
Is excellent. And
his story arc is, it's the movie. Like, he's literally the point of the movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, him going from, like, ooh, I can, you know, I don't want anything to do with this, into, okay, I can use this, into, okay, I actually love this person.
Right.
And, like, it's just, it's nuts.
Yeah.
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 But that's the thing.
He says, like, Raymond, that's me. That's why you say Rain Man? Oh, dude.
I'm Rain Man?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh, that just bawled, like, when I saw that. I was like, that's it's just so, like, good. Written so well, yeah, and like, yeah, developed and like acted so well.
Definitely.
Like, oh.
Definitely.
But yeah, those are ones like you're saying, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good one. Legitimately, not Christian Bale style. Good for you.
But that's like Philadelphia. You have Tom Hanks literally like in his prime.
Yeah.
And Denzel, who's always been in prime.
And but that's why it's similar, I think, to Rain Man, is because Denzel's playing a regular guy, kind of dealing with the situations, the outrageous situation of this new socially stigma of this new disease.
And what's good, it takes. What's the football Denzel football movie?
Remember the Titans.
So in that movie, it's you know him on the other end where it's like race and change and class and like you know, people are looking down and all this stuff. But in Philadelphia, he's like this like super conservative like lawyer,
right?
And it's like, no, I'm not gonna. What's happening? Like, no, you're gay. Like, I can't. You have no. You.
Yeah.
He's like, gross, get away. Like, basically. And then, like, just to watch his story arc. Like, both of them, like, it's so good.
Yeah.
Where he just changes it from, like, being this total, like, bigot's not the right word, but kinda.
But kinda, yeah. I mean, well, ignorant. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you're ignorant and you're working with a certain amount of fears that you're taught. And I remember, you know, the fear, the AIDS fear when it came out, and everybody was like, so there were all these stories like so-and-so sneezed on someone, you know, or they threw blood on somebody. There were all these stories about this. And so it was just this enormous fear about like, ew, don't touch me. Don't look at me. Let's not breathe the same air. Which is so fucked up.
Yeah. It's so messed up. And that's what makes this move. But see, that's the thing. That's why I'm wondering if I were to play this movie right now, for a crowd of people that have never seen it, this day and age, do you think it would have the same effect? Do you think they would look at it like a period piece and be like,
probably,
this is how it was?
Probably. That's my guess.
Because when it came out, it was like, holy shit,
it was very,
this is how it is.
Yeah, it was very like, right now.
Yeah.
This is now.
Early 90s, like right out of the 80s when like the huge like AIDS boom was like.
But I should ask, like, you know, Rachel, our roommate, she was like 25 now.
Yeah.
Like, of course, she's not a good one to ask because she hasn't seen anything.
But, that's the perfect person
to ask. But it would be good just to say, do you remember AIDS? You know, and what do you, because I don't think that for her and for other people, you know, it's still around.
Right.
But it doesn't have the same.
It's not like Black Death where, like, if you have it, you're goner.
Yes.
Like, it's not like, oh, shit. Like,
and that
so-and-so got AIDS, they're
going
to die.
Incredible, like, awareness, you know, this, like, social, you know, kind of getting the word out. Like, and that was, like, kind of why Philadelphia, because in the getting the word out to everyone, there was a lot of bad information gotten out.
It was crazy.
To folks. And so, yeah, so everyone's like, oh, my God, it just travels through mind waves. You can get AIDS through thinking the wrong thing. Really? Because I think some perverted stuff. You're getting AIDS.
On the streets of Philadelphia. Let's talk about the song. The Bruce Springsteen song. Are you a fan of the Bruce Springsteen song?
Not enough to remember it very well.
I just know the On the Streets of Philadelphia part.
I kind of remember that too.
But like, other than that, like, it's just, anyway.
Yeah, I don't remember it that well. Tom Hanks, but I'm sure I like it. Bruce Springsteen's great.
Yeah.
So Philadelphia.
Yep. Now, do you consider like Toy Story, is that a Tom Hanks movie? Because he's a voice.
Well, you know, he does do a very good job, and he is the main guy.
Kind of. Yeah.
So it's kind of like what you were talking about. He's an average looking guy.
Right.
But when he opens his mouth, you know, and so essentially, if the whole world was blind and only people could talk, yeah, he would stand out. Yeah. You know, he would be. And so that's what he gets to do in Toy Story.
Oh, and to go back to the game that I mentioned, the actor like challenge game.
Right.
If you list like Tom Hanks, you can use animated movies like Toy Story, but you can't say Toy Story 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Because it's the same person.
Same character.
So it's only like different characters. So if you're going to play the game, you can't cheat by going like, oh, Tom Hanks, I got 5 movies right off the bat. Toy Story 1, 2, 3. And now 4, because they're making a 4th one.
Are they?
Which is weird. Because it ended so perfectly. It's like, what are you doing, Disney? Don't do it.
They're like, a cha-ching. Hello. Yep, exactly. Cha-ching. Milk that cow.
But I mean, it's probably going to be good, because all the other ones are good. Pixar movies in specific are the good ones. So what else, other than Green Mile, is like at the top of your Tom Hanks game?
So definitely... Castaway, it's got to be mentioned, just because it's all him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Save for like a few scenes at the beginning, a few scenes at the end.
Yep. Like, I don't even remember in the middle, do they show like search parties or anything? Like, they don't show anything.
It doesn't
anything.
Seem like it. No, it seems like I know once that when he gets on the island,
right?
Once he crashes. Just him. Yeah, I don't think they don't cut to anything else. The entire thing.
I don't think they do either.
And that's like 80% of the movie or more.
Because I know that it was a huge, it's not a huge shock, but it's a huge shock at the end when he gets back and she's, you know, moved on or whatever.
It's so funny.
Because like he's dead. Like she was like, you were dead. Like what did, right. Like what did you want? What did you expect?
Right.
And then like it's so heartbreaking because like... You picture yourself as the guy.
Yeah. I can't wait to get back to my honey.
And you're like, oh man, I made it. Like I survived on a deserted island for however long it was.
I don't know how long they say.
It was a long time.
Over a year?
Yep. A long time. I survived and I got back and you're over it. Not over it, but it's like, what do you do? Like,
right.
You can't be like, leave your husband, because like, I'm your husband, or what? Like, you can't.
You know, it's so funny.
And like, he just leaves, and you're like, oh, man. He just goes back to work.
It was almost like it was made for me, in a way, by casting Helen Hunt as the...
Oh, because you don't like her anyway.
Right. Yeah. Like why? I feel like, don't throw her under the bus anymore. She's already under my bus enough.
It's so weird.
As annoying as she was on Mad About You.
It's so weird that you hate her so much.
There's something about her.
Yeah.
You know, there are like those certain characters.
Yeah.
The certain people, certain actors and actresses.
But it's like, man, that in that movie, he, like, the transformation that he goes through, because like, when he's starts in the movie, he's not fat by any means, but he's like a... average looking guy,
right?
And then by the end of the movie, he's like super skinny and like crazy beard, and like the transformation he made is just nuts as far as like real life goes.
And I don't remember if in the hearing about the making of that, whether or not it was actually he put on weight and they filmed it in reverse, or the other way.
Where I'm sure he was like, super scrawny, and then like they did the weighty stuff at the end.
I wonder.
Because so much of it's when he's like super.
Cause like,
well, not so much.
What about
of it,
like Memento?
I guess they show you when he's getting skinnier
and stuff. Does that like are they actually getting skinnier?
Memento, and I think,
or is it the mechanic?
I'm the mechanic. Oh, Christian Bale.
Yeah,
the mechanic. Yeah, machinist.
The machinist.
That's what it's called, right? Yeah, the machinist, where he's like super crazy, weirdly, abnormally skinny.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the machinist.
Yeah,
and that blows my mind because he did that right after Batman. So as like big and bulky and buff and ripped as he was as Batman, he then turned around and then became like
gross. I thought he was just kind of like okay. He was. He never seemed that big to me.
He was pretty buff.
I mean, probably buff. Yeah, because like he does. They do like when he does shows push-ups and stuff.
Yeah, he's pretty cut. He's pretty cut. But, and then in The Machinist, he's like super scrawny and gross, and like literally you can see his ribs, and it's disgusting. And then turns around and does The Dark Knight. He's like back to being huge and buff again. It's like holy crap. Oh man! Like
that's
when
not
actors,
good for you.
It's not when actors do that, because like Tobey Maguire did the same thing. Tobey Maguire wasn't like huge and buff or anything as Spider-Man, but he was definitely like, I wouldn't mind looking like Tobey Maguire did when he was Spider-Man. When he like takes his shirt off, he's like, oh yeah, I look good. He's got muscle tone and stuff. And then he turned around and did Seabiscuit, where he had to lose all his weight ever and turn into like, or not? Was he in Seabiscuit? One of the jockey movies.
I did see, yeah.
And then he turned around and did Spider-Man, where it's like, get buff again. It's like, man, that's crazy. And the movies came out like in with like a year of each other. So it's like, do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, anyway.
That means we could get buff and do a movie.
And then get skinny.
Yeah, or gain it back.
Yeah. Oh, I gain it back all the time. what, Tom Hanks, were we just talking about that we got onto that crazy sidetrack? Oh, Castaway.
Castaway.
Right.
Yeah.
Body transformations and stuff. That makes sense. That movie's phenomenal. I don't know about the movie, but his performance in that movie
is phenomenal. The movie's good. I mean, I don't know if I like the end or not. I don't like the end.
It's a bummer.
I mean, I like the fact that he gets there.
Right.
Gets back and it's almost just like a cruel little thing to the audience in a way.
And to him. Like you're on the Tom Hanks train.
Yes, to both of you, to like the character, to you and the character.
Right,
because you are like you're invested.
You're on his team. You're invested in the character. Yeah. And you're like, oh man, he made it. Oh, yeah. He's driving. They're going to her house.
Yeah,
she's gonna see him. It's gonna be great.
Right,
and then it's great, and then she's like, oh, by the way, no,
yeah. Marry Jack Nicholson.
It's like fuck, heartbreaking, and then he goes back to work. Do you have a meh Tom Hanks movie?
Meh Tom Hanks movie?
Like The Terminal?
I haven't seen that one. Okay. I heard that was good.
It's pretty decent.
Now, isn't that like Spielberg?
I don't know. It's like based on a true story.
It's a big director.
I believe so. And
I'd like to see that.
It's a decent film.
And he plays Russian, which
he's
is
something.
I believe he's a Russian guy.
Might be Russian.
But, which
I've only seen that movie maybe twice. Maybe.
I have not seen it, but.
But it's just kind of meh. Like, for me, when I watched it, I was like, I wasn't like blown away, but I wasn't like, this is a bad movie. What about like The Lady Killers? Do you know this movie?
You know, that's a Coen, like, Brothers movie.
Isn't that the one where he's like
a southern, like a
Kentucky Fried Chicken, right. Colonel Sanders type guy?
Yes. I need to see that again.
I haven't seen it.
Because A, it's a Coen Brothers movie. And B, it's Tom Hanks.
I will probably enjoy it. If I watch it, I will probably. I don't think I ever watched it because I heard it was like, meh.
Well, you know, the Coen Brothers, which we need to do a Coen Brothers episode for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I just watched the first episode of the new Fargo.
There's a third season?
Third season's out.
Nice.
So, didn't you watch it on FX, like through sign in?
I did. I watched most of the second season.
Okay.
But then something happened with sign in or something and I couldn't finish it. But then I did buy it on DVD. So now I have the first season and the second season and I just haven't gone back and watched them yet.
Okay. Both of those are good.
Yes. So, I really enjoyed the first part of the second season. It was
and so
great.
This third season, Ewan McGregor is like nice. The main guy, which it took me a minute to figure out who it was. And I would have swore that his right-hand man was the Phoenix, the Joaquin Phoenix, but it's not the character. Like
it's
it looks,
guy that looks like him.
Yeah, it's another actor who's been in some stuff. But so far, it's got all the characteristics of the first two.
Nice.
You know, just this. There's a style. Yeah, the style that it's enjoyable. So,
But you haven't seen Lady Killers.
No, yeah, like maybe I've seen it a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't remember it. Now here's a movie that I think is phenomenal, but it always gets overlooked and not mentioned.
All right.
And that's Catch Me If You Can.
I like that movie a lot.
I like that movie a lot.
Now that was like Spielberg, right? I'm pretty sure.
Maybe.
I want to say that was a Spielberg movie.
But, like, Leonardo DiCaprio is great in it. And, like, their relationship between the two of them is phenomenal. Well, Catch Me If You Can came out in 2002, and it is directed by Steven Spielberg.
So that's another movie where Leonardo DiCaprio, who is an excellent actor, that the two of them, like, I almost think that that's almost more of a Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
Yeah, oh yeah,
and,
for sure.
And
because Tom Hanks is like the supporting character.
Yeah, he's good. And he's likable.
Yeah.
So this also came to mind when I'm thinking about Tom Hanks. My friend Tom Heiler, back in the day, when we were in college, Mount Hood Community College, and doing plays. We did Little Shop of Horrors.
Nice.
And so the local, the school newspaper would always do stories. And so they did a story on me.
Feed me, see ma.
Yep, did a story about all that. And they interviewed people in the theater department about me.
Sure.
And so, you know, they're doing their thing too. So but anyway. So Tom said a nice thing about me. He said... that BJ has the ability to get to a person's receptive nature. And I was like, oh, that's kind of true. I never thought about it that way, but I do always consider myself like I can get to anybody.
Right.
You know, like I'll get to you.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll you know, you're going to be on my side.
Correct.
And that's what Tom Hanks does. Like,
oh, yeah.
As an actor, he gets... He gets everybody on his side.
Always.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's really, really impressive.
That's why I want to see this new movie.
Which one now?
Have you seen the trailers for his new movie? The Circle?
Yes.
Yes. With like Emma Watson and like it's Google or some tech company is like destroying the world. It's like some crazy conspiracy or something.
They want to control everything about a person.
Based on the trailers, that's what it seems.
Well, and then Emma Watson...
she like figures it out or...
Well, she is an up-and-coming...
Programmer.
Like, in the company.
Wants to work there. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she becomes the person who kicks off the... Every waking moment of your life gets recorded and essentially sold to the company. Or
I want to see it.
So yeah,
it's Tom Hanks is a bad guy, which I freaking love.
Yeah, like I haven't seen Road to Perdition. Like I need to see that movie.
Tom Hanks is a bad guy,
but I have a feeling that he's probably a really likable bad guy.
He's like that's the thing. Like, you're just on. But even as not like even if he's not likable, you're still like yeah, like I get this,
right?
Like I understand this. Well, I was just thinking of another Tom Hanks movie. I can't remember.
Did you see Captain?
I did not.
What's it called?
Phillips.
Captain Phillips. Captain Phillips.
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows?
It's good. It's good. I can't go up high.
It's not. Is it good though?
It is very good. No, it's very good, and it's very good. Tom Hanks. It's a great. It's a great story, and I kind of remember the story happening.
Yep. I do remember the story happening.
But yeah, it's really well done. And the best part of the movie, which is not giving too much away, we kind of know that he survives.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a very traumatic experience, and he goes through an awful lot.
Sure.
And when he's finally done, and he's finally in back on the ship by the authorities, and they are, and he's been like in the water for too long, so he's suffering from hypothermia.
He's all gross. Yeah, yeah.
And he's been through great trauma. They're kind of talking him in, you know, back into reality. You know, what's your name? Do you know where you are? What the date is? What do you know? What happened? Blah blah blah. And he's kind of like coming back into reality from this traumatic experience where he had to do stuff that was terrible.
Correct.
And he just breaks down and starts crying while he's being interviewed. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's just Tom Hanks magic.
Oh, he's so good.
He's
so good. So I just IMDb'd Tom Hanks, and like it shows you the first four that are like known for, and it lists Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, what'd you think of Da Vinci Code?
The movie?
Yep. I didn't think it was that great.
Well, BJ McEvely is going to hate me because the book is better.
The book is way better. Yeah. The book is way better. I love the book.
It's I love true, the though. Book to the death. Book is the book is.
And then
phenomenal.
I was bored to death with the movie, yeah. like the book for whatever reason. And I love Ron Howard.
Yeah, and the story is captivating. It's fuck.
The girl is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's just something about the movie. She's I was not, just like,
meh. She's not great though. Like that. That was one of the things. Like I remember, she's very pretty, but like her character did not have a likable personality, and Tom Hanks' likability wasn't that. Readable.
It wasn't. It was, yeah, it's just weird. It's just yeah. a weird, like, fluke of a thing where, like, the book was the most popular book ever
yeah.
at the time. And Tom Hanks is, like, Tom Hanks magic. And Ron Howard is a
Ron
brilliant
Howard's magic, right?
filmmaker. And it's like, you combine these, you're like, yes,
this can't is
going to be a fantastic
it
super
misses.
Hit. And it misses.
Yeah.
And then they did Angels and Demons, which is the first book, but then they made it the second movie, which I guess doesn't really matter.
Did they make it like, things. Did you see it?
Uh-huh.
And did they make it as if it happened after?
Yes.
They do, don't they?
Mm-hmm. And not that it matters, because like, it's like Indiana Jones. Like if there was books about Indiana, there might be, I don't even know.
Right.
But if there's books about Indiana Jones, it doesn't matter, because like...
Each adventure Raiders, is like its
yeah,
own.
Yeah, it's its own thing. But now they, I think they just made Inferno, which is the fourth book. They skipped over The Lost Symbol, which is the third book. So
Inferno.
They're just picking and choosing.
I have that book somewhere.
But like, yeah. I haven't read the last two, but it's like, were the movies that popular? You're like, you're doing it again? Like, you're trying this
I
again?
I guess, you
like,
know.
It's weird, right?
I guess that's one of the things where if you were Ron Howard and you have make a movie with Tom Hanks on a Dan Brown book.
Right.
That's enough to where you're going to make your money like back.
Right.
Like it may not be a monster.
Yeah, that's true.
But
and I'm sure it did. I'm sure it did great.
Yeah, I'm sure they made
it's
money.
Literally the first thing unlisted on IMDb that he's known for is Da Vinci Code, the first one.
That seems weird.
Then Forrest Gump, then Saving Private Ryan, then Castaway.
And then what else?
Then it goes into chronological order. But Saving Private Ryan. We'll end on Saving Private Ryan. We kind of touched base on it very briefly the last episode with McEvely because we were talking about Matt Damon and I made a joke about like, oh, my favorite Matt Damon movie is this because
Tom Hanks
anyway,
is in it,
whatever.
Right?
Tom Hanks is freaking great in Saving Private Ryan. Like, and the freaking end when he's just sitting there and like shooting at the tank and he's like barely holding his gun and it's like his hand's all shaky. I'm just like, man, this guy is so good. Oh, man. And then there's... Oh, I can't even really talk about Saving Private Ryan just because, like, it's such a great, like, depiction of what I believe that war was like. Even though they're not necessarily a part of, the, like, the big war, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Oh, you mean what their mission?
Yeah, because their mission is like
just go in there and get this guy
yeah,
back.
Go get him because like all his brothers are dead or whatever. And it's like okay, but like the sniper scene when he's like just taking people out and he's like saying like whatever prayer or whatever he's saying while he's sniping. I'm just like yeah, like I'm so on board. And then like the scene when like the stupid kid like lets the Nazi go and then like later that's the same guy that's like killing his buddy. Ah, I hate this movie.
So, there was a video game that I think it was called
Call of Duty
2,
uh-huh.
I think.
World at War, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, that specifically modeled all of its scenes after like other famous like war movies.
So, I believe so, yeah. It starts with like D-Day, Normandy Beach.
And that's straight Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Like straight... Yeah.
Now, do you think that happened, the game came out after Private Ryan?
I think it did.
I think it might have.
And I think also, because then, like, did you ever see Enemies at the Gate?
Yes.
Which is a good movie.
That's a good
film.
That's
a really good movie.
Yep, that's a good one, too.
And then there's a whole bunch of that game that are just like Enemies at the Gate.
Yeah.
Too. And I think there's probably like three or four other movies that they kind of, which is kind of cool in a way. I mean, like,
that game was, I remember playing that game. That opening scene's jacked up, man. Just like Saving Private Ryan. That opening scene is so fucked.
It is. Yeah. It's overwhelming.
And it puts you right there.
It
and,
does.
And you're just like, man.
This sucks. War this is like, sucks.
Well, not only that, but like this war sucked. And it was like this, all this, like, not suicide missions, but like the suicide missions that people went on. It's like.
For a bunch of people it was, yeah.
Go storm the beach. And they're like, okay.
We're getting shot at.
Like, we're going to die. And like everyone but the knew.
People behind you might not.
Right. Yeah. And everyone knew on the U-boats. It's like, well, you guys are toast. And you guys are the front lines and good luck. And then like when you, like they're running up the beach and then like the camera like pans over and like this guy's looking right at you and then he gets blown to smithereens. Like.
Yeah.
Real life, like I can't imagine that. But that's as close to real life as I can imagine it being.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As clear an image that this is probably what it's like.
And then
yeah.
like when Tom Hanks goes into that weird like shell shock mode where I'm like, that's probably what, like, I would shut down. And yeah. like he can't hear anything and everything's like kind of slow motion but not, and it's all kind of shaky and like he's just like looking around and some guy like literally picks up his own leg and like starts walking away with it. And you're just like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
Ugh. That movie's brutal. But it's so good.
That makes you wonder if... Do people who make decisions to send people to war, have they ever even seen these movies?
Oh, right. I mean? Yeah.
Like, are you sure? I got no qualms with it.
Yeah.
You go in there and
you just go in there. You get blown to smithereens, right? Holy cow.
There was another Tom Hanks movie or two, but...
Oh, there's untapped resource where, like, we didn't even mention A League of Their Own. But again, not necessarily a Tom Hanks movie.
But at the same time...
But he's so good.
Yeah, that movie's a great ensemble piece.
Oh, yeah.
But and his part is so good. So we used good. To do this thing, which doesn't play well for radio,
uh-huh.
but where he...
The, like, signs?
Well, after... I think it's like hitting the cutoff man. Like, he's trying to get one of the girls to hit the cutoff man, and she... He comes in and he's like,
yeah.
And he's like, okay, now listen.
Mm-hmm. Doing his fingers.
Yeah. And he's just kind of like shaking. Uh-huh. Just like so frustrated. Like,
oh, man.
So,
yeah.
Great movie.
That's a great movie. But yeah, we get
Rosie O'Donnell saying, don't look at him. Like when they're like, oh, right. like spying, yeah. they're like listening in. And they're like, yeah, that movie's great.
It's so good. Dude, when he just, like, marches on in there drunk as a skunk and just, like, starts taking a whiz, like, right in the middle of everything. Doesn't even care that it's, like, whatever. Anyway, that movie's good. But we could talk about him forever because he's brilliant.
He's great. Genius. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing
The Circle. His,
The Circle.
The Circle.
And I don't know if you ever listened to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. On NPR.
Nope.
It's a weekly show. But he came in and did a whole thing for the show. He sat in. He was the guest.
Like guest host
guy. Yeah, the guest host.
Nice.
And, God, it was super. I mean, and it was the same thing where he's like, everybody's receptive nature. He just, like,
yep.
tapped right into he's, it.
Yep,
like,
I got you.
I'm your, yep, you're mine now.
Everyone loves me. Because he's great.
Yep.
And his kid's good, too.
His kid is very good.
Like, he's not, like, superstar or anything, but Colin Hanks is great.
Colin Hanks is good, which reminds me, you need to... So you haven't seen season 2 yet of Fargo?
Not all of it. Is he in it?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a big part in it. He's, like, one of the main
from
guys.
From the beginning?
From the beginning,
season
I believe
two?
So.
Season 2? It's not season 1? It might be season 1, because I don't think he's
maybe
in season
2. Maybe
season 1. Season 2 has Kirsten Dunst and the kid from Friday Night Lights and...
I think it is season 1, actually. Yeah, yeah, it is season 1. Yeah, because he has the daughter. And,
I didn't see season 1.
Oh, you didn't see season 1? You guys see season 1.
I know.
Billy Bob Thornton kills it.
I hear he's phenomenal.
He kills it in yeah. that. Yeah. And Colin Hanks is very good.
I love that guy.
You'll like it.
He was good in Dexter? What show was he on? I think it was Dexter. Anyway, that's sidetracking, going down rabbit holes. But to wrap things up quickly, to wrap things up, Silicon Valley came back, which I'm super excited about. So I'm going to be watching that.
Now you all up to date to that?
I am. Not all up to date. I haven't seen, I think there's been maybe two episodes that have come out. Uh-huh. For the new season, which I haven't seen yet, but I will, because I freaking love that show.
Well, and what came back with that, too, is the show that I watch a lot.
Veep.
Veep.
Biz is a huge fan of this show.
Yes.
And he thinks it's, like, the best it's ever been.
It is. It's so funny and so, like...
Smart?
Raunchy. Yeah.
Right.
Smart and raunchy. Super raunchy. Like, the way they talk to each other is ridiculous. And
is it all still the same people?
It is. They've introduced like another character or two,
but like the original people, like Tony Hale's still there, and like
yes, okay. Who is great. Everything he does is so great, and his relationship with Selena Meyer, with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, mm-hmm. is just so funny.
Yeah,
it'll kill you.
So
that I'm watching that.
Yeah, I'm glad. Like HBO's, well, not all of HBO, but like you know, the fun shows are back.
Yep.
For the moment. And you said Fargo just started, so you're
Fargo,
kind of big on that.
Yeah. Also, we're watching The Handmaid's Tale on
I've heard on Hulu. That's interesting.
It is interesting, and it was a book and a movie mm-hmm. some years ago.
Yep.
And Andrea's read the book. But I did hear on Right Wing Radio they were complaining about it. Like
really?
Yep. Which huh. is makes first of all they hate all of Hollywood,
yeah,
and
I didn't know
they hate all arts too.
What's
and,
the what's
they
the
hate
show?
Also
what's...
people.
What's the...
poor people? Christ. They don't like fuck the poor and let them die. That's my thing. So,
so what's the Handmaid? Is that what the Handmaid's Tale is about?
The Handmaid's
about
Tale is a yeah. The Handmaid's Tale like, is a futuristic
like
tale
dystopia
where. This doesn't give that much away,
yeah.
but a branch of the religious right have taken over the government.
Ah, that's why they don't like it.
Yes.
Because it's like about them.
Right.
Well, yes. Yes. See, that makes yes. more sense.
Yes, that's exactly why.
So there's a reason for them to not like it. It's not
yeah.
just like...
Like their hatred, hatred for poor people.
Like Downton Abbey, they're like, oh, this is a terrible show because it's art. It's,
right.
It's...
Which is a legitimate reason in their eyes.
You yeah. guys are making fun of us, so fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's...
Is it good, though? Interesting?
It is interesting. It's got Elizabeth Moss, who I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoyed her to death on Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed her on West Wing as well. Particularly Mad Men. She's great. She had a great arc. Oh, you never watched it.
I saw the first episode.
One day you're gonna have like just
it's never gonna happen.
It's never gonna happen. You know why? Because there's too much more
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So like
maybe
another,
one day. Maybe one day.
There's another season of Homeland, which I've enjoyed Homeland a lot.
I haven't even seen one.
You would enjoy that too. First
I know.
Few seasons
I'm sure
like,
I would.
Are like good like mystery, you know, political drama.
Yeah, I love that
smart stuff. And there's a season in there that the entire season plays up to a particular
just one little thing
part that just when it happens you're just like oh shit like oh shit
that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's so fun. Like I love that so much when you've been like fed something
oh,
for
yeah.
so long
you just
and,
get there
you know.
Samantha and I have been watching a lot of Quantico. I think it's on ABC.
Yeah, it's like I never did get into that.
It's brand new. And we...
It's been around for a little while, right?
I think it's maybe in...
Is it season two?
Definitely in season two. I don't know if season two is done.
Because
okay. We were looking at the list of the DVR, and like I remember like setting it up to record that, and then I never watched a single episode. And then I was looking on Netflix, and I was like, hey, it's on Netflix. So then we kind of went back and watched... We deleted them off the DVR and watched them on Netflix, so we didn't have to like fast forward
right.
or anything, and it's so much easier.
It is better.
And we just watched it, and it was like, man, and it's cool, because like it follows like a couple different timelines where it's like them training in Quantico, and then like them being FBI agents.
Right.
And like the story is like... How come they're not talking, but they're best friends? And like, so it's kind of cool storytelling.
It's good, huh?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, the reason why I never leaped on watching it, even though like they were promoting it pretty good.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what made me want to record it in the first place.
That
it was like
something
kinda,
interesting
yeah.
storytelling. But everyone was too pretty. Like that was my problem with it.
I am distracted by that. I'm like, because these sometimes people are all like, super good looking.
Yeah, and yeah. It's not and like I've mentioned before, like a lot of times you have your own prejudices and biases.
Right.
That like I have a prejudice and bias that if it's a very good looking cast, they're not going to be Tom Hanks.
Right.
They're not going to be great.
But they great are. Actors. They are good.
I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it's good. But, it's a very enjoyable show.
I'm prejudiced.
So. Yeah. but that's kind of what I'm watching and looking forward to watching. And I think that's where we can end it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think The Veep, Fargo. I'm excited about.
You got to start in Silicon Valley.
And just, well, I think I've watched the first season of Silicon Valley. So it's
so good.
And they're quick. You know, they're good. Quick.
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes.
And Veep is quick, too.
Yeah.
And you would love Veep.
I've seen some of them. Like, I start because everyone was like in on it. So I watched a few of the first season and I went back and
I think I need to watch
Silicon Valley.
that's probably what I did with Silicon Valley. It's like, well, I mean, Veep is on.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think they've always kind of ran together.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah, I'm excited about that. So maybe we'll talk about.
Oh, and
like
also, Guardians of the Galaxy is out now,
dude.
We're gonna go. Today's Thursday,
for sure.
The 4th.
Yeah, today. May the 4th.
May the 4th.
We didn't mention that at all. We should talk about Star Wars. We suck. Not really. Not really to talk about Star Wars.
Well, because we're not going to release this until the 8th.
Yeah.
So.
But dude, yeah, Guardians, man, I am so psyched.
Yeah. So we're gonna go tomorrow night. I was supposed to buy the tickets, but I forgot. Yep. So maybe I'll remember when I get home.
Yeah.
If cool. we don't, we'll go some other time. But yeah. that'll be fun to talk about, too.
For sure. But anyway, that was this episode. Check out Blackfin Outfitters. Check them out on Instagram and use Binge to get 20% off. But for me and BJ, this has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge! Bow, 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 bow. Right? Okay.